Our gospel lesson today is John 21, verses 1 to 19. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing," and they said, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus, and he said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. Now this was the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fashion your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. Be with us in this time and place, we pray. Amen. So all of this happens after John's gospel seems to end with chapter 20. In that chapter, Mary sees Jesus at the empty tomb on Easter morning, and then Jesus appears to the disciples in a locked upper room, and again he appears when Thomas is with them. After that, John says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah." That sounds like the end of the gospel, but it's not. Today's story may have been an afterthought, but what if it's like an encore, saving some of the best for last? This amazing story shows us how the risen Jesus meets his followers right where we are. No matter who we are or what we've done, Jesus offers love and grace. In this story, the disciples are worn out after a week of emotional overload. That big entrance into Jerusalem, the Last Supper, Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, and then 3 days later, an empty tomb and Mary announcing his resurrection. Then the disciples see Jesus in a locked upper room twice. Now talk about a roller coaster of emotion, love, grief, shock, hope. What do you do when you're emotionally overloaded? For many people, we just put one foot in front of the other and keep going. We throw our legs over the edge of the bed, get up for another day, right? And doesn't grief cause us to do what's most familiar, like going back to work or keeping the usual routine? I wonder if that's what's happening here when Peter suggests to these fishermen that they go fishing again. After all, it's been a crazy week, and fishing is familiar and easy, only they don't catch a thing all night long. The story opens at daybreak, another reminder of Easter starting at daybreak. And as the sun is coming up, they see a man on the shore suggesting that they throw their empty nets to the other side of the boat. And just like Mary Magdalene, they don't recognize Jesus until those nets are bursting with 153 fish. That number 153 is so large, some say it's symbolic, but what if it's just a sign of God's abundance? Once they make that big catch, John says, "It is the Lord," and Peter jumps out of the boat to meet Jesus. Which makes me wonder, how do we recognize Jesus in our lives today? What does it take to open our eyes? Here, Jesus does what he's done for them before. He feeds them. "Come have breakfast," he says. "Bring some of those fish." It's much like what we celebrate today in communion. He feeds them like he fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Today, we celebrate the Lord's Supper, and we are also being fed by Jesus. You know, many Christian traditions call this table an altar, but in the Presbyterian tradition, we emphasize this as the Lord's table. We don't usually refer to it as an altar because Jesus' sacrifice was a once-and-for-all sacrifice that saved us over 2,000 years ago. So we call this the Lord's table, a place where we remember Jesus giving himself at the Last Supper and the way he appeared to his followers after the resurrection, often around a table or in the breaking of bread, like on the road to Emmaus or in the locked upper room or on the shore that day when they were fishing. Now, the other part of this powerful story is Jesus' interaction with his beloved disciple, Simon Peter. Remember Peter? Peter is the one who denied knowing Jesus 3 times. Jesus predicted it would happen in John 13:38, and it happens just as he said. Peter denies knowing Jesus 3 times to 3 different groups of people, just as Jesus is being beaten and sent to the cross. And here, Jesus sees Peter and doesn't condemn him. Now think about that. Isn't that amazing? After eating breakfast, Jesus offers love and grace to Peter by asking him 3 times, "Do you love me?" He gives Peter 3 opportunities to affirm his love, just as Peter denied him 3 times. Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord." So Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." Jesus asks again, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes, Lord." And so Jesus says, "Tend my sheep." But the 3rd time, Peter is hurt by Jesus' question. He responds, "Lord, you know that I love you." Then Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." In reality, Jesus loves Peter so much that he gives him the 3 opportunities to express his love. This story reminds us that we don't have to get our lives right for Jesus. We may feel crazy, overloaded, emotional, or lost. We may have messed up royally, and still Jesus meets us wherever we are. And Jesus offers us love, grace, and forgiveness, a second chance. This is Peter's 2nd chance. It's Jesus saying, "The past is behind us. You can forgive yourself now." How many of us need to hear that we can forgive ourselves now? This is Jesus saying, "I know you love me. Now go and show that love. Be a shepherd to the people around you." Our reading from the book of Acts today is very similar. It's about Saul, who was persecuting Christians, who becomes the Apostle Paul after an experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus. It, too, is a story of 2nd chances, of God's grace and love, because just like Peter, Jesus meets Saul right where he is and gives him a new calling. Instead of persecuting Christians, he will bring people to Christianity. The book of Acts chronicles Paul's lifelong journey of founding churches and traveling and writing letters and visiting believers. You know, at the end, Jesus tells Peter that he will die an untimely death, that someone will take a belt and lead him where he does not want to go. And tradition tells us that later, Peter was crucified upside down. Paul, too, will be persecuted, in prison, beaten, shipwrecked, and struggle with an ongoing disability, which he called a thorn in his side. But these believers will not abandon their faith because Jesus has faith in them. His love helps them keep the faith and love others so they can tend and feed the sheep. What does all of this mean for us today? Well, what if it means that Jesus meets us with love and grace right where we are today? That's the power of this story. It doesn't matter who we are or what we've done. Peter had denied knowing Jesus. Saul had been killing Christians, and still Jesus meets them with love and grace. He offers them both a second chance, the opportunity to start over, to not just receive love, but to share love with others by tending and feeding the sheep, the people around them. And the truth is, we all have sheep around us that need our care and love. It's not enough to just say we love Jesus, is it? It's not enough to just believe in him, right? Jesus wants us to put our faith in action. We are called to live out that love by loving, serving, and caring for others. That's what it means to follow Jesus. When Jesus says to Peter, "Follow me," he's calling him to that new way of life, just like we are called to a new way of life, a life of service. What does a life of service mean to you? At St. Bede's Episcopal Church in Santa Fe, New Mexico, there's a sign that hangs over the door into the sanctuary. It says, "Servant's Entrance." There isn't any way in or out of that church except through that door. But isn't that the perfect sign? Isn't that our calling to be servants? Writer Philip Yancey notes that toward the end of his life, Albert Einstein removed the portraits of two scientists, Newton and Maxwell, from his wall and replaced them with portraits of Gandhi and Albert Schweitzer. Einstein explained that it was time to replace the image of success with the image of service. So what does it mean to you? That Jesus loves and accepts you right now, that he offers you a second chance. And how can we put that love that he gives us into action? How can we serve? Jesus still asks us, "Do you love me?" And if we do, we're called to put that love in action and follow him. Friends, that is the good news of the gospel today. Jesus loves us and meets us where we are and offers us grace no matter who we are or what we've done, and then gives us a whole new way of life. And for that grace, all God's people can say together, Amen.